for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance Service, May the 22nd, 2009. Carla Batata is the speaker of this service, teaching on unforgiveness and healing.
Well, let's open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for each person that's sitting here. I thank you, Lord, for the subject matter. That means, Lord, there's somebody here that needs it. And I know you're going to meet every need, regardless of what it is. We just thank you and we praise you. Lord, we welcome you to sit with us. I thank you for creating us as women, because we know how to have a good time. I just ask you to bless each hearer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, actually, Mr. Hobson kind of got y'all prepared for what God gave me to talk about, because he talked about healing, and everything that God wants to do for us is healing. He wants to provide healing in the areas of our lives that we're broken in. And we come here broken. We come here with problems and with physical defects sometimes, emotional problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional. But God can touch every one of those. And so I do want to start, though, in Matthew 18, which he made reference to today. Matthew 18. And you're probably all familiar with this parable. Jesus is speaking, and he said, well, it was the answer to Peter's question. I love Peter. I can really relate to Peter. He was quick to jump, quick to speak, and it usually backfired on him, but God loved him, and Jesus loved him. And anyway, so Peter asked, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times 7? He was hoping. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore, it is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had nothing for which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the inquisitors, or actually it's the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. So really, forgiveness is the key. if we ask God to forgive us, or if somebody else has wronged us, and we do not forgive them, then God cannot forgive us. It's a law, and He won't violate His laws. And so, when I was driving down here yesterday, I mean, usually from one camp to the next, like when I leave this camp, and I'll be back for the next camp, I mean, I've been coming ever since I came the very first time, because this has become a wellspring of life, this place. Because there's not many places where you can go and receive like you can receive at Lake Hamilton. Deliverance. I mean, like, you know, we walk around all our lives long with garbage, and we don't know what to do with that garbage. So most of the time it just sits in there and festers and causes us all kinds of problems until you find out that you can be delivered of that garbage. And then when you start receiving deliverance of your garbage, then you can be free. Let me just give you I am looking back in my life at things that have happened. They've been real experiences, but I'm looking back and seeing how those things were prophetic happenings. They were prophetic in my life. And for this one, I would say, this was probably in the mid-80s. And I was walking. It was a beautiful January day. You know how in the winter the sky is just really blue and clear? There's no puffy summer clouds in the wintertime. But way up high there was a thin, I mean, you could see through them, but it was a thin sheet of clouds way up high. And I was walking down this road near my house, and on both sides, and this is when we lived in the city still, but there was pasture on both sides of the street. And at the beginning of the road, there were probably about six houses. And so at one point, there were these oak trees on both sides, and you know how they grow together like one big umbrella over the road, almost like walking through a tunnel. And it was winter time, so all the leaves were off of the trees, so all you could just see the twigs and the limbs and just a big, you know, ball of limbs and branches. And so I had walked all the way down to the end of that road, and I was on my way back. And I was talking to the Lord and telling Him how much I loved Him and how glad I was that He was in my life, that He had given my life meaning and joy. And I'd been healed of a depression that had haunted me for 4 years. And so I just felt alive. And so I was telling the Lord that I wanted to... I really desired to be led of His Spirit. Lord, I just want to be led by Your Spirit. And when I said that, and it wasn't a windy day, but when I said, Lord, I just want to be led by Your Spirit, this gust of wind came from behind me. It was really kind of weird. But on one of the fence posts along the side of the road, I heard a rustling. And it was a bag like you get at Walmart, you know, those plastic bags. But it had blown, I guess. There was a Walmart close by, and I guess, you know, trash had blown through this pasture. And this bag had become snagged around the post like this. And it was all bunched down because the grass had grown up and grass had been mowed. And it was all packed down, and rain and a little bit of water gets in it. So this bag had been there for quite a while. But when that gust of wind hit, that bag came loose from that post, and now it's blown into the street, and it's all, you know, like this, but it's rolling. And I was just amazed, because it was just a really strange thing to happen. So I'm just keeping up my pace, and the bag is about 10 feet in front of me, and it's moving as fast as I'm walking, and I am really focused on this bag. And so all of a sudden, the bag loosens as it rolls, and then it's scooting because the wind is in the bag, and it's scooting on the road. Of course, nobody's on this road. I'm just thinking, golly, I wish somebody was here to see this. It's just so amazing. Well, a little while, the bag began to float. like a helium balloon. It just started rising. And I am watching that bag. And when we got to the trees, I thought, well, that's going to be the end of the bag. Because, you know, there's no way that bag could go into that conglomerate of twigs and branches and everything without getting snagged. Well, it didn't get snagged. It rolled this way and rolled that way, and it might get stuck a minute, but it would loosen and go. And it made it through those trees, and I just could not get over that. And so when I came out on the other side, the bag was up in the air, and I just had to stop and look at it. I watched it until it went all the way up into those real thin clouds to where it just became one with the sky. I couldn't even see the bag anymore. And I just thought that was so exciting. I went home and called Mike at work to tell him about it. He's like, oh, okay, whoa. But, you know, there was something about it. I knew that there was something that had a meaning. I didn't know quite what it was at the time. And later, as I thought about it, you know, I had prayed to be led by His Spirit, filled with His Spirit, and led by His Spirit. And that bag, now, all these years later, which that was probably about 20 years ago, I realized that that was a prophetic vision of me, of my life. Because we moved from where we were just a happy little family. I mean, happy little family. Life was good, you know, the kids were good, everything was good. And then we moved to the country, and our children became teenagers there, and my middle son went into rebellion, and hell broke loose in our house. It was just a very disturbing time, which now I look back, that was when the bag was going through the trees. See, that was a situation that should have ended the bag. But I look back and I think, wow, that is a picture of my life. You know, it was good. Everything was great. And then we go through this turmoil. But I came out on the other side. It didn't do me in, which it should have. You know, in the world, if I had not had the Lord, I would not be here today. I may not even be alive. You know, I mean, it was really bad. So God is beginning. I'm looking back on things in my life and seeing prophetic happenings. And so, what got me there? Talking about forgiveness. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, it doesn't matter. See, each one of us was designed with a purpose. Just like that bag was designed to carry parcels out of Walmart in that bag. And we were all designed with a purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. But because of life circumstances, we can find ourselves out of the place where we were purposed and around a fence post somewhere. You know, because we haven't followed the plan. We all want to be our own Lord of our own life. We want to go out and do our thing and live our own life. And sometimes we can find ourselves wrapped around a fence post somewhere, bogged down with a lot of garbage. That's where it was going. The garbage. If that bag had been full of garbage, it would have never moved from the fence post. So the freedom that that bag got when it moved away from the fence post and the Holy Spirit entered, filled that bag, it took it to a place that we can't even imagine. And that's what God has purposed for us. But we've got garbage. And so, unforgiveness, without forgiveness, you're not going to leave the fence post. And I don't know where you are in your life or what your issue at the time is. Because at different times of life, you can have different issues. But whatever your issue is right now, it could be that unforgiveness is keeping you bogged down. Now, I want to read from the book of Philemon, because it's just one chapter, I think. And it's a letter that Paul wrote. He was in prison, and he wrote this letter. And he was fixing to send somebody to these people that he wrote the letter to. in verse 10. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, who in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him. That is, mine own bowels, our heart, he says. So he's wanting these people to receive Onesimus as they would receive Paul. And the fact that he said that in times past was unprofitable means that he was good for nothing at one time, maybe even an enemy. At one time he was unprofitable, but now profitable. So he's saying, receive him as you would receive my own self. In verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. You know, that's it. I thought about that too. Sometimes we have loved ones that will depart from us for whatever reason. There's a breach in the relationship. And so he says, perhaps he departed for a season so that he could come back and be received forever. And sometimes that's the way it is with our loved ones. We lose contact, or we may even put them away from us because of their behavior or their sin or whatever. But when they come back, we should receive them. And Paul is making that request of these people. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee anything, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. See, Paul is saying, y'all really owe me your own life. But I'm not going to bring that up, although he did. I'm not going to tell you that you owe me your own life, you know. But he is making a plea that he's going to send this man who at one time may have been Paul's enemy. And you know how we will take on other people's offenses? Like, you can do whatever you want to me, but you hurt my mama, you know. So, to see, these people loved Paul, and for whatever reason he was unprofitable, they don't say why, and that he departed for a season, but now he's back. They've been reconciled. And so Paul is saying, receive him like you would receive me. And Paul, knowing that they would have ill feelings toward him, Paul says, look, if he's wronged you, put it on my account. Which is exactly what Jesus did. Everyone has wronged him, but he gave his life for us. So forgiveness is the key to everything that you are pursuing in the kingdom. And what God said when I was on the way up here, because I had several, when I leave a camp, I start praying for the next camp. Lord, you already know who's going to be there. You already know their needs. And I'm asking, Lord, that you give me a fresh word for whoever they are. And so I had a couple of things that I could have chosen from, but it was neither one when I got here. Before I got here, the Lord just dropped. And what he actually said was mother issues. I want you to deal with mother issues. Okay. And then as I thought about the mother issues, you know, we have a mother and we are a mother. If you have children, everyone has a mother, and many of us are mothers. And so there's a lot to be dealt with there. First of all, for our mothers, the women who gave us birth. In my own life, I had a good mother. My mother was a very, she was a good homemaker. She took very good care of us. She saw that we were fed. She saw that we were clean and well-dressed, and she saw that we behaved ourselves. But my mother was not very affectionate. And I was a very affectionate person. My dad is affectionate. And so I learned early in life that when I had a need for affection, I went to my dad. I could crawl up in his lap, and he knew how to love. He didn't have an issue in giving love. But I didn't know that my mother had an issue giving love. Now that I understand my mother and what, you know, the garbage that she came born with, because her mother tried to abort her. It was unsuccessful. But when you have a rejection in the womb, there are certain spirits that will enter into the womb with you. The spirit of rejection, the spirit, an unloving spirit. There could be a death spirit. I'm sure there are others. But the one that affected her that I saw the most of was the unloving spirit. Now, if you asked her, you know, do you love your children? Of course. But the ability to express that love was not there. The unloving spirit will cause a person not to be able to express love the way they would really like to. And it causes a person not to be able to receive love, the love that they need from other people. So it really is a very, it's a subtle spirit, because what we do is, as if you don't understand this spirit, you just think that they're just, you know, not very expressive. You know, they keep their emotions to themselves, and they're private, or, you know, we have all kinds of words that we describe the unloving spirit as. But what it really is an unloving spirit. And so if you had a mother who, and in my little eyes, you know, as a little girl, I knew that my mother loved me, but there was no closeness. You know, there wasn't that. I know mothers and daughters who are very connected. And so I just wondered why we didn't have that until I understood the spirit of abortion. And there is a book back there by Bill Banks on abortion, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of questions I had growing up. You know, why my mama couldn't cuddle me, and why just we didn't have a close relationship. And now that I understand this, my grandmother was abandoned by her mother. And so I can look at my aunts, I can look at my cousins, and I can see where that spirit has been at work in my mother and her sisters and her brother and their children. And, you know, but we just, because we don't hear about these things, and like a place like Hamilton, where you can hear about these things and have them dealt with, then you just live your whole life with them. And then you may inherit the unloving spirit, which I did until I was delivered from that spirit. I also had an unloving spirit. I was a very attentive mother. I taught my children things. I spent time with my children, but it was mechanical. You know, I bet they felt like they were in the army. I was like a drill sergeant. And I didn't realize that same spirit was at work in me until I read the book. And it was a command by God to read the book. I wasn't interested in that book. I really wasn't. I didn't want to read the book. But God said, you're going to minister with people, and you will need to know this information. But see, God is so good. He's so gentle, because what he really knew was there were the answers to a lot of my questions in that book. And when I started reading it, and it opened up to me, you know, some of the manifestations of that are like a mechanical mom, which is what I was. I was my mother was a mechanical mom, and I was a mechanical mom, going through the motions without that, I don't even really know what to call it. You go through the motions, but there's no emotion. You know, there seems to be a coldness. I always kind of felt a little bit like, because the spirit of rejection was already there too, was that my mother was withholding her affections from me. And she had no control over that. See, so it brought an element of understanding into our relationship. And, you know, I explained it to my mom. I'm not sure she really understood it, because she said, well, it never bothered me when mother told me she tried to abort me. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if there's some denial there. But, I mean, how do you tell your child, you know, I tried to kill you when you were in my womb, you know, and how does that not affect a person? But, you know, there are walls of self-protection that we will throw up to keep ourselves from being injured and wounded. And so, I don't know what your relationship is with your mother. I don't know what your relationship is with your children. But I believe that the Lord wants to do a healing in relationships between mothers and daughters, and between mothers and their daughters. Another thing that God showed me was, and I guess probably because I'm going through, not myself, but a friend of mine who has breast cancer, and knowing that, well, it's kind of like as Paul pleaded with these people to receive Onesimus, I am pleading with women to deal with these issues. If you have broken relationships between your mother, or maybe it's you and your daughter, or maybe it's you and a sister, or an aunt, or a grandmother. Henry Wright, I don't know if any of y'all know who he is, but he's written a book called A More Excellent Way. And he has had some tremendous insight on physical ailments and the spiritual connection. And so now, you know, if I know someone who has breast cancer, or they bring up, maybe they have uterine cancer or cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, what he has found is that when females have broken relationships, it can open the door for infirmities in the areas of your female organs. Like if with breast cancer, I usually say, did your mother have breast cancer, or your grandmother's on your mother's side or daddy's side? In other words, was it generationally inherited? Does this run in your family? No, none of my family has that. Okay, then let me ask you a few questions. This particular woman, her mother died suddenly. I don't know how many years ago. It was probably about 5 years ago. She had a brain aneurysm and died. So I was thinking that perhaps maybe there was some hidden anger. You know, of course, you lose the mother and there is grief and sorrow and abandonment issues, and maybe even some anger. I'm mad at her that she died like that. You know, mad that I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. Mad that I didn't know, and all these things. Or maybe there's some anger at God, if somebody was taken out of your life and you don't you are angry about losing the person, and so there may be a hidden element of anger at God. Of course, nobody. We suppress those things, and that's the danger, is when you suppress anger at God, because we know we're not supposed to have anger at God. So we, even though it might be there, we don't want to admit. And when I was going through depression, I looked back on that, and I had to admit that the beginning of it was resentment and anger at God. But I wouldn't have admitted to that right away. It took some time for me to be able to say, you know what, I was just angry at God. And so there is healing whenever you unearth these things that have been hidden. So I want you to be thinking about these things as I talk more about this. So was there any anger surrounding your mother's death? Like, were you angry at your mother? Well, before I even could ask the second question, she already jumped on an issue that happened with her sister-in-law, who was not even in the family anymore. Her sister-in-law had run around on her brother, broke the family's heart. There was all kinds of stuff around that. The mother was very upset. The mother ended up having an aneurysm, and she kind of blames the sister-in-law for that because it was all the pressure and the stress and everything. And so, you know, I said, well, have you forgiven her for all of that? Have you forgiven the sister-in-law? Because breast cancer will set up in the female organs when you have issues with females. Could be a coworker, could just be a neighbor, a friend, a cousin, an aunt. So I don't know if that can also be the root for, like, female problems, cysts, tumors. The abortion spirit, if there is abortion in your family line, it can cause you to have terrible problems with your periods. It can cause terrible birthing experiences, lots of problems in pregnancy. It can be the root to stillborn babies, miscarriages, sterility. There is a lot of things that are involved in that. It can cause the spirit of abortion can cause migraine headaches. It can cause mental problems, hearing voices, anger and rage and murderous rage, nightmares. Reoccurring nightmares can be rooted in the spirit of abortion. And so these are female issues that could be touching our lives. Did you have a question? Let me get it on the mic so we don't. Well,
I wondered if you thought also that maybe addictions of all sorts, including sexual addictions as well as drug addictions, etc., might be related to post-abortion issues as well.
Definitely. Because you have usually the circumstances surrounding an abortion are usually from promiscuity or rape or incest. And so the spirits that can be transferred are the spirits of whoredom, fornication, and of course the pain caused from that will drive people into certain bondages to anesthetize the pain and the guilt and the shame and self-hatred, and there are a lot of things that are tied up in that. So I want you to just really begin to reflect. Ask the Lord to show you if there are any relationship problems between your mother or close females, aunts, cousins, grandmothers, sisters, best friends, broken relationships, you know, with a female. You may not have been a close person, but if you have anger, resentment, bitterness, and hatred against anybody, those will open the door for female illnesses. So let's just go before the Lord right now. Sometimes it could be something that you're not even aware of. And so we're just going to ask the Lord right now. Father, I just ask that each one of us, Lord, will examine our hearts. Lord, if there's any relationship, broken relationships, or anger, resentment, bitterness, hurts, people that have hurt us, betrayed us, been ugly to us in any way, that we have just stuffed it and not dealt with it, that becomes like a festered place in our soul, in our spirit, and each time there's an offense, it reminds us of that time, and so it's just like a rock pile that just keeps growing and growing, and will bog us down like that bag around the fence post, that we can't be free to move in the spirit because these things will hinder even being able to receive from God, being able to hear from the Lord. So, Lord, just open our minds, bring to our memories, Lord, anything that has been not dealt with. And as God brings those people to your mind, just ask the Lord to forgive you, repent of holding unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, the need for revenge. And Lord, we put that on your account. In Isaiah 53, it said he carried all of our sorrows, all the hurts. He carried them. He took them so that we wouldn't have to deal with them. Maybe you were the one that did the hurting. If so, ask God to forgive you. And if he gives you an opportunity, go to the person and ask them to forgive you. Sometimes it's hard to say, I'm sorry. And don't stop with, I'm sorry, but follow it with, will you forgive me? And free yourself and that person from the tormentors, from the prison that we put our own self. It's a self-inflicted prison, unforgiveness. And then I want to deal with any female problems that you have that you may need healing in. Well, let me just do that corporately. I'll just look up at me when you're finished repenting. And Father, I thank you that you've heard every confession, Lord, every repenting of holding unforgiveness against anybody. Father, I just thank you right now that we have dealt with our garbage, the pile that's been holding us down and holding us back, to make way for your healing virtue to come into our bodies and heal those areas that need to be healed. Father, right now I just come against the spirit of infirmity. I bind the spirit of infirmity and I command you to loose God's women in Jesus' name. I come against all female problems, all cysts, yeast infections. Call out any that you might think of. Even menopausal problems, hot flashes, incontinence, breast cancer, all cancer, in the name of Jesus. I just speak death to all cancer cells in our bodies in Jesus' name. All infections, viral infections and bacterial infections. You know, we were created to live in peace. Our bodies were created to live in peace and health. And when there are things that disturb our peace, it can open the door for infirmities to come in. I come against all uterus problems, all ovary problems, all problems surrounding the menstrual cycle, PMS, cramps, in the name of Jesus. I come against all female problems, all cysts and tumors, benign and otherwise, fibroid tumors, sterility. I come against all sterility. And I release life into the ovaries, into the eggs, into the uterus. If you are wanting to conceive, I just speak to the female organs to receive the seed of the man and to be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name. I come against all grief and sorrow of broken relationships, all sorrow and grief, heaviness. Go in the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, old hurts and wounds, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against all tormenting spirits, mental torment, regret, all spirits of regret, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against all bone problems. All bone problems. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to all bone problems. All mental problems, emotional problems. I speak healing to the mental and emotional wellness of our bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the unloving spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. All unloving spirits. Lord, I release forgiveness. I come against diabetes. Let me tell you about diabetes. Does anybody in here have diabetes? Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. That's a first. That's good. Well, you probably all know somebody who has diabetes. Diabetes can be, if it's not inherited, it can be caused by an abandonment issue. When children are abandoned, like divorce, when the father leaves the home, the child feels abandoned, and it can cause diabetes to set up. In men, it usually involves an alienated relationship with the father, and the rejection that is there causes the body not to be able to receive sweetness, so the body can't handle sugar. That's what causes it. It's a spiritual root, but it has a physical effect because of that unloving spirit. They can't receive love. You know, the rejection is a cruel spirit. It causes you to feel rejected, and then it causes you to behave in a way that everybody will reject you. And then rejection says, see, they don't like you either. That's how rejection works. It's just it's a maddening cycle of just rejection. And then it'll have you rejecting your own self. It goes into self-hatred. And then the self-hatred will cause diseases like autoimmune diseases. Because you hate yourself, and so your body turns on itself. It'll cause rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, and AIDS is even an autoimmune disease. You have no immunity. So, do y'all have any questions? Let me get it. Well, I'll just repeat it. Okay. She asked, we do have prayer cloths here. Lake Hamilton does have prayer cloths that have been anointed and prayed over, and I'm sure they'll be glad to give you one. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'll find out where they are, and I'll get a prayer cloth that you can take to her. Yes. Okay. And she's pregnant. Okay. Okay. What's her name? Jennifer. And, ma'am, what is your daughter's name? Ann. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Ann and Jennifer right now, Father, these two that have diabetes. Lord, I pray that they know you. I pray that they would get the revelation, Father, that you suffered diabetes on the cross so that they wouldn't have to. You shed your blood to supply healing to even their blood diseases. So, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, send your Holy Spirit and your ministering angels to these ladies that have diabetes. Father, that they might receive your love. We just ask that you would reveal yourself to them in a way that they've never known you before. Lord, that there'll be no abandonment issues. Lord, that they can receive you as their Father. And, Lord, that they can receive the healing that Jesus provided for them on the cross. Lord, it is written. You said that it is finished. And Lord, we just apply that finished work to these ladies' bodies right now. Lord, we send out your healing. It is written that you sent your word and healed them. Lord, you are the word. Now I ask that you go to these ladies and Lord, just touch them and heal them right now. Right now, Lord, heal their blood in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring people before you, Lord. We don't even know where they are right now, but you know exactly who we're talking about. We just ask you to touch them in Jesus' name. Anybody else? The root to Alzheimer's? I don't know of a root to Alzheimer's. I know that it has to do, it always strikes older people. I think it's connected to the spirit of death. In fact, that's kind of what I was going to talk about today because death was abolished on the cross. You know, we understand clearly that Jesus died for our sins. But it says that we were redeemed from the law of sin and death. And so there's a law of sin and there's a law of death. And death came in the garden when they rebelled against God's word. And so what happened, what I begin to do now is I come against the spirit of death in my body. You know, every day when I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, I receive the healing, and I command the spirit of death to go. Because up until just a couple of years ago, death was at work. You know, we know because of what we see, the pattern of life, that we get old, right? Well, I'm not so sure we have to get old. I believe that the spirit of death that starts the minute we're born and works in us is a dying process. And so I've begun to speak against the spirit of death. So from the time you're born, I say, Lord, I repent for taking for granted and for not knowing. The word says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And yes, things are being revealed all the time. And I believe that that knowledge is expanding. You know, God is pouring out more understanding and knowledge so that we're going to be able to live in establishing the kingdom as we know more and more, and we begin to operate in those things that Jesus died for us to have. And so the spirit of death, I believe, is the root of Alzheimer's, because it's a dying of the brain cells. And so, if I prayed for somebody that had Alzheimer's, I would come against the spirit of death. Well, and a lot of times, I'm not sure. Well, I hate to put limits on things. You know, like Mr. Hobson said, we've made it so complicated. But if I prayed for someone who had Alzheimer's, I would bind the spirit of death. And if they're a Christian, I would activate the mind of Christ, because he says, ye have the mind of Christ, and we know that Christ does not have Alzheimer's. So I activate and probably the spirit of infirmity and the demon of Alzheimer's to go and just activate the mind of Christ and speak to those memory cells and command them to be activated. The scripture is, it's in Romans, and it says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken your mortal bodies. That's the flesh and blood. And quicken means give life to. So if those things are dying, you can, you know, speak of quickening. But our problem is that when we have something wrong, we run to the doctor with it instead of Jesus. And then the doctor gives you medicine, and that causes more problems sometimes. I'm not against medicine. I mean, if you don't have the faith, I think you better take the medicine. But, you know, I think that God's perfect will is that we would live healthy, we would be healed, and we would live whole and be well. So, anybody else? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be. You mean the Alzheimer's being caused by drug abuse? Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure drug abuse has caused some problems, you know, with children being born with mental problems and, you know, all this ADD and ADHD and all these disorders. What is it? But bipolar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that drugs will cause all those things. Drugs, they're very destructive. It's really disturbing, you know, what you're seeing on television about these children that are being really left and abandoned because of drugs. And, you know, the parents would rather buy the drug. Well, it's an addiction, you know. But you know, the people, I hadn't heard of Alzheimer's. You know, when I was a young girl, I never heard of Alzheimer's. And I don't know if they just put a new name to dementia or chronic brain syndrome. That's what it used to be called, and now they call it Alzheimer's. But it seems so prevalent. I don't know. I have my own theory about that. because it is so prevalent, and it seems like about, 30 years ago is when they started coming out with all of these measurements of your cholesterol and your good cholesterol and your bad cholesterol, and they're taking you off of all this stuff. And I really believe that because of these things, we have so deprived our brains from healthy things that it needs. You know, all things in moderation. So if you take away all fat, well, you know, your brain is fatty. It takes fat for your brain to function properly. So it stands to reason if you take off all of your fat, everything's low fat, and everything's been altered. You know, now you're not eating butter, you're eating who knows what. You know, we don't know what we're putting in our bodies. So always bless your food. I will tell you that. Always bless your food. Because there is something supernatural that happens to your food when you bless it. It says it sanctifies it. So always bless your food. Because nowadays, you just never know what... I just heard a report yesterday. They have these, you know, everything now, the catchphrase is going green. You know, you want to go green. So they're doing away with the plastic bags, and they have these permanent bags that you can reuse and reuse and reuse. Well, they just put out a scientific report that the chemicals in those bags are causing food poisoning. Food poisoning. I mean, you're carrying your food home in them, but, you know, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. Crazier all the time. It is. Well, it is, but, I mean, what was wrong with the paper sacks? Except, you know, now we've got to save the trees. And it's just part of the world that we live in today. Anybody else? Really? Oh. Okay, the question is, when you go to the doctor, he's a Christian doctor, but he said she doesn't want to have a mammogram or a colonoscopy, and so he says, I assume you have breast cancer, I assume you have colon cancer, until you have the test and it's proven wrong. Well, I tell you what, I have a son who's just fixing to graduate from medical school. And everything that he would study, he would email my husband and I. You know, you and Dad are this age, and y'all need to have this done. Well, I mean, I'm thinking, I can't believe he grew up in the house with me, and he is emailing me this stuff, because that was one of the first, healing and living healthy and committing my body to God was one of the first things that God dealt with me about when I was born again. And like he said, he traded his Blue Cross Blue Shield for the old rugged cross. Well, my saying is, I traded in my insurance for assurance. See, when I had the assurance, it didn't bother me when we lost our insurance. I mean, we didn't give it up. They canceled us. And then it was so outrageously expensive. And I stayed home with the children, so it was either me go to work outside of the home to afford this health insurance, and I was going to put my children in daycare. No, you know, the Lord had already given me peace about committing my body to Him. And this has to be a personal conviction for your own self. But I finally told my son, after he was in medical school for 4 years, and 4 years I would have to listen to all these statistics and everything, and I just finally told him, I said, listen, you were not there when God told me that He could keep me. And I said, okay, I'm trusting you. And I trusted Him with my children's lives. And, I mean, we quit getting sick. And so I am with you on that. Of course, I'm not sure I would say it to a doctor. I would... Yes, yes, you don't assume that you have cancer. But, you know, it's like we trust these things. We have gotten to where we trust the words of the physicians. I'm telling you, people could quote their doctor better than they could quote John 3:16. And they know exactly what is in their insurance policy, but they don't know what's in the Bible. You know, we know what our benefits are, but we don't know what our benefits are. It's very different. The world system is very different from God's system. And I saw a report on Fox News one night. They had this scroll line across the bottom, and they were trying to contact people that had gone to the military hospital. What do you call it? The VA hospital during a certain span of time, because they believed that there were at least 10,000 people that had colonoscopies with unsterilized equipment. And, you know, I'm thinking, yuck. Now, we go and we trust. We turn ourselves over to have these things done. We would never even think to ask, did y'all wash that? You know? But I told my son, I said, Wade, you know, he wants me to have a colonoscopy. I said, Wade, do you know why God put the colon way up in there? So man couldn't fool with it. I said, I am not going there. I'm not doing it. And he said, you're right, Mom. I wasn't there when God told you that. And I know that you have faith and you believe. He said, but I know a lot of women that have faith and believe that die with breast cancer. And I said, well, I'm just going to say your mama's not going to be one of them, you know. But now I'm not going to stand here and say that if I had this big old tumor come up that I wouldn't go do something about it. I don't know what I would do. I'm not going to make that judgment, because I learned that what you judge comes to your house. That may be something else. If you're having a problem in your life, ask yourself, have I judged somebody that had this same situation? Because it's easy for us to stand and compare what we would do with what somebody else is doing. And I've learned that when you make those, it says, judge not lest ye be judged. And with the same judgment and with the same measure of judgment, you will be judged. I'm living proof that is gospel. And so don't judge another person for anything. You know, if you don't, you can, that old Indian saying that you can't judge another man unless you've walked a mile in his moccasins is very true. So if you don't want to wear those same shoes, just don't judge them. Pray for them. But yes, you do have to cast down word curses. And that's what that was, a word curse. So we just break that word. You do not. We do not assume you have breast cancer, and we do not assume that you have colon cancer just because they don't get a test. And I saw this another man on television that had a mastectomy. You know, men can have breast cancer too, and he had a mastectomy. And I told Mike, my husband, I said, I can't even believe that they would admit that to him, that his tissue sample got mixed up with somebody else's and he didn't even have breast cancer. And that has happened to women. You know, their past, you can go do everything that they tell you to do and it still is not a guarantee, because the tests are fallible. So it's a false sense of peace. It's a false peace of mind. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. 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 Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. That's right. Mhm. It's a very destructive spirit. And the sad thing about it is this is not something that you would, you know, when you sit down and you talk about your grandmother and your great grandmother, and by the way, she used to do abortion. You know, we don't share those things. And so it's the secret things that are at work in our lives that causes problems a lot of times until they're exposed and dealt with. And it's always the shameful things, you know. And the devil is right there saying, you better never tell anybody. You know, you better never tell anybody that. And so you keep it a secret, and it ends up, you know, causing a lot of problems in your own life and your children's lives. Yeah. So you can break those things off of your children if you know about them. If not, we just watch all these calamities take place and we don't know why. See, anybody else? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, I tell you when that hit me, because I had 3 babies in 3 years, and I couldn't handle any more babies. I mean, I was just about insane. But so I told my husband, I said, not touching me till you have something done. And he says, well, can't you go get your tubes tied? I mean, all these other ladies say they have their tubes tied when they have their baby. I said, yeah, but they had C-sections. I didn't have C-sections, you know. And I've been cut on enough. I don't want any more. So he went and had a vasectomy. Of course, this is way before I knew about all of this. But he came back from that vasectomy, and it was the strangest thing. I couldn't explain it, but it felt like somebody had died. There was a grief that was there, and now I know, you know, what it was. I mean, we killed the seed. We killed the seed so that there would be no more babies. And, you know, we want to lord over our own lives. It is a disobedient thing to when we, that's a hard place to go, though. It really is. Because, I mean, I wonder how many babies I would have had. But I've repented for even asking my husband to have the vasectomy. So, these are things that I would say, take that to the Lord. Because I don't want to make those calls for anybody. That's like Tammy, the first time I met Tammy, when she came here, the girl in the kitchen. They had just gotten married, and she had plans to go to college, and they had just bought a new house and all this stuff. And I had taught on, you know, taking the pill and everything, and how that was killing the seed and preventing and calling our own. It's something that we're not trusting to the Lord. You know, we're being God over it. And she was all like, oh, what do you think I should do? I mean, you do. She said, do you think I should quit taking the pill? And I said, yes, I think you should quit taking the pill, Tammy. I mean, that's easy for me to say because Mike's had a vasectomy. So. No, I said, you need to talk. You and Ralph need to go to the Lord together about that. Well, the very next camp, she was pregnant. And then she had the baby, and the very next camp, she was pregnant. I was like, oh, God. Well, I didn't feel responsible, but... But anyway, now she, you know, now they have their own conviction, and they're living out the conviction, and so it's a good thing. But some, you know, these are things that we don't really look at in the terms of Christianity. You know, it's just like we get married and we get on the pill until you want a baby, and then you get off the pill because that's been the tradition. I can't answer that. I just can't answer that. I don't know. I know how it makes. I know what it, you know, stirs up in me. But I don't know. I'm not going to make that judgment call. They'll have to deal with their. There'll be, you know, they'll have to deal with their decision. Yes. Yeah. Well, these are, you know, the world we live in today is. There's so many situations that come up that used to not even exist. So it gets harder all the time. And it will get harder all the time as more and more things are invented. You know, man is always coming up with stuff. You know, pretty soon they may be growing babies in a laboratory. I mean, they already do that. I mean, they're not for adoption yet. But, you know, who knows what the future is going to hold. Is there anybody who would like prayer for anything in particular in their bodies? Okay. Well, I tell you what. Yes? Oh, you want prayer? Okay. Okay. I thought you had a question. Well, it's 2:30, and we're meeting back here all together at 3 o'clock. And so I guess we'll just dismiss if y'all want to just have some spare time, and I'll pray with the ladies that want special prayer. And I hope this has been some helpful information for you and that you'll gain some freedom from it. God bless you. 3 o'clock back here. And the ladies who want prayer can just come forward and I'll be glad to pray for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.